Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
Hi guys, welcome back to another episode. I'm Erin, I'm here with Seffi, and I realised in the last time I did the intro, I sounded absolutely depped out of my bumhole. I sounded so depressed. I can promise you I'm fine, everything's okay.
Nothing's going on, guys.
Nothing's going on, nothing to report, so I'm trying to be more high energy. This episode is a good one, I promise.
Well, this one's good. We do actually get quite vulnerable in this app.
Yeah.
We get quite raw and real in this app, which is quite fun.
It's a very honest episode from us. I hope that pays off with you lot. Fucking hell.
Because we've really been shedding the tears for this app, which is really fun, actually.
Yeah, I hope you love it. I had a good time filming it, recording it. Oh, I'm fucking YouTube all of a sudden. Jesus Christ, get me out of here.
Enjoy.
So, I asked on the story, and I would love to ask you now, Seffi, what has been like your worst experience with comparison? Like, what was your like comparison trigger? Well, recently, let me actually pull back and give you a second to think about that.
Nice.
You and I, Seffi, have spoken a lot about, her name's Lucy Sheridan. I don't know if you guys have heard of her. She is the world's first comparison coach. This is not sponsored, even though it sounds really sponsored. She has some really great content on Instagram. You should go and check her out. But she mentioned once, well, she probably mentions it all the time, in this IGTV, she was like, if you ever bump into your comparison trigger, blah, blah, blah. And Seffi and I were like, ooh, love that.
Yeah.
A comparison trigger. I mean, what's your experience with your comparison triggers? Who are they? What is it? Are you better at not comparing yourself now than you were before when you were younger? Give us some insight on you.
Well, I was obviously really thinking about this for the episode, and I was thinking from watching Lucy Sheridan's, like, she does like amazing IGTVs and stuff, and I guess she's kind of the inspo for this because we're really talking about her, and the way that she outlines things with like comparison trigger, your, I mean, we're going to get into this, but your pips, your proof it's possible, like so stunning.
So stunning.
I don't think I'd really thought about comparison in a deep way until I was really watching her things and thought, okay, there are a few different types of comparison. And it definitely came up in our, I hate the word polls. Someone come up with a fun name.
Yeah.
For them in our sort of stories, I guess, with people saying like, I compare myself to my family members, my friends, or like celebrities. And like Lucy Sheridan's whole thing is like, whether you compare yourself to celebrities is one style of comparison, or if you compare yourself to your friends or family or people in your life is another style.
She has a name for it, right?
It's like local.
It's like remote.
Yeah, local and remote types of comparison, which, yeah, is so interesting. And I think I'm a mix of both, but when my comparison has been, it's most heightened, I think it's comparing myself to like localized people in my life that are more successful or doing things in my eyes prettier, things like that. But I think that my general comparison style is like people on Instagram, sort of look at a picture of fucking my queen Lily Allen and just think, oh my god, why don't I look like that?
Yeah, also kind of your doppelganger Lily Allen.
Yeah, she is, and that's why she's kind of the better the hotter version.
We're like, that's the thing in life. You only are the watered down version of the celebrity that you think you look like, or someone told you you look like in your childhood, and now you idolize.
And you're Selena Gomez.
Yeah, and I'll be the ugly version of Selena Gomez till I die. Take it to my grave.
Yeah, totally. What about you?
I agree with you. I don't think I ever really compare myself to people that I know in real life. I don't know why. I guess I think everyone's a fucking loser. Like, I don't have anyone to compare myself to. I don't know why. I don't compare myself really to people that I know. I think even when I do compare myself to people remotely, as Lucy Sheridan would say, like on Insta, for example, I agree with you in that it's like you never really, or at least in my experience, never really think about, oh, this is comparison.
Yeah.
A lot of us think about it in like a broader sense of, oh, it's just a self-esteem issue, or it's just like, oh, social media and blah, blah, blah. But it's actually what Lucy Sheridan is doing is really important because she's called herself a comparison coach rather than being like, oh, I'm just a life coach or I'm self-help guru.
Self-esteem help. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. It's like, I'm going to help you with comparison, because then that makes you think, oh, Jesus, yeah, okay, comparison's pretty fucking mad. Like, yeah, fuck, we're all comparing ourselves all the time. And that, I think, is the root.
Comparison is the thief of joy, the famous quote by God knows who.
Very true, yeah. Well, I just think I compare myself more so to just things that I see on Instagram. And I almost think I just compare myself to, like, discourse. Like narratives, like if there's a narrative of what a kind of 23-year-old girl should be and like what a girl should look like and all of those things, it's more like, even if I'm not faced with Lily Allen or someone very specific, or yeah, love
I
her.
Also love Lily Allen. Like, I actually have never felt a negative feeling at her Instagram in my life. I just want to say I love her.
Even if it's not like a specific person, I think a lot of us compare ourselves to a general narrative of what we've been told we should be doing.
I completely agree with that, because there's definitely, for example, this was coming up quite a lot with things you guys were saying, that it's not like you're watching someone that's got married at 24, but it's, there's a discourse that, oh my god, you're 24 and you're single, but shouldn't you have blah 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 blah, shouldn't you be married or whatever,
you're getting old, your eggs are gonna die,
you should have kids, clock's ticking. And definitely people that were getting that around, kind of like, I'm 26 and I'm not married. It's like, you're not even necessarily comparing yourself to like celebrities getting married or your friends getting married or your sister getting married. It's just an idea that you've always had that you will be married by that age.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a patriarchal idea. I just want to also slip in there.
Absolutely. Actually, I'm going to read out what somebody said because I thought it was particularly interesting. So, and it kind of links in with that. They said, comparing my previous self, brackets, my body and social life, with my current self. And I think that fits into that thing of like, yeah, you're not always comparing yourself to, listen, I hate to say Lily Allen again, but for example, Lily Allen, like, you're not always comparing yourself to somebody like that you know in real life or a celeb. It could literally be yourself. It could literally be you writing down Seffi in your fucking diary at 8 years old, like if you're not in Doctor Who by the time you're 10.
Yeah.
If you're not acting, if you're not the Doctor's new sidekick, companion, yeah, you're a failure or whatever.
If you are not Billy Piper by age 12, then you should give up. Yeah, I definitely think that. And also this whole idea of like, would your childhood self be proud of who you are now? Things like that. It's like, well, that's quite a hard standard to hold yourself to, because your childhood self thought you'd be Miley Cyrus.
And your childhood self had a very skewed and minimal scope and perception of the world. Like, my childhood self didn't know anything.
My childhood self fancied Ryan from High School Musical.
Yeah, and boy, was she wrong.
Boy, did I not know what was going on there. Yeah, it's not to be trusted. A seven-year-old is not to be trusted. And that should really go without saying.
Honestly, it goes without saying. And I actually recently, well, maybe not that recently, put something on the Instagram saying, stop romanticizing your teenage body, because there's so much pressure that we put on women to not age, to have like an infantile body.
Yeah.
That you thought you were fat when you were 16, and now you look at pictures when you're 16 and know that you were so skinny, and now are jealous of your 16-year-old self. The toxicity of this earth.
And it's because of a fucking paedophile culture.
Absolutely.
It's telling women to look like children, because then you can control them.
Yeah, stay small.
So fuck that bullshit. Stay small, shave every bit of hair on your body.
Keep the authority in my hands.
Yeah, keep your skin, don't show a fucking wrinkle on there.
I'm the authority figure. You're a child. You need me.
Yeah, you fucking need me, bitch. So that's the thing. Stop putting any trust in your childhood self to come up with any of your dreams. And I mean, if you compare yourself to your younger self, I think that's probably one of the more healthy styles of comparison.
Ah, okay. Well, interesting, because I put on the story saying, do you think comparison can ever be healthy?
Absolutely. Yeah.
And then I thought, here we go. Everyone's going to pile in saying, maybe, but blah, 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 blah. Yeah, I'm not sure, but blah, 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 blah.
Oh, and you did pile in.
And you did. And you had great insights. You made some points were made.
You came through in hordes. I think it can definitely be healthy. And I think if you'd ask asked me this before we fell together down the Lucy Sheridan comparison coach, the first UK's, the world's first comparison coach hole, I would have definitely been like, absolutely not. But then we found her and we were like, oh my God, you're a genius. Because let's talk about PIPs.
Okay, go.
So PIPs stands for Proof It's Possible.
Stunning.
Let's take a moment.
You know we love a fucking acronym.
We love an easy to understand bite-sized nugget of info. And that is so clean and tidy and I love it. So your proof it's possible, your PIPs, could be anyone. So I think she said hers, like,
it's like Sting. Yeah.
And his wife. I don't know why, but like, it's basically somebody that has a similar sort of lifestyle to you that you would want in the future, or something that you have in the future, but you feel a positive feeling when you see it, and you can compare yourself in a positive way to be like, okay, that's proof that this can work for me. There's proof that I can get to a point that I can overcome.
Mm.
And I think it's such a powerful way of comparing yourself and flipping the narrative of like comparison is so negative and it's so dangerous and like draining, to be like, wow, it's actually an empowering way that you can see yourself through somebody else's eyes and see potential.
Yeah, it's stunning. She had quite an interesting, it was quite formulaic almost. I'm not sure if it was in that same IGTV possibly, where she talks about like writing out and like making notes of. It's almost quite Miley Cyrus. I can't remember what episode it was that I was like,
yeah,
going on and on about Miley Cyrus, who I love, by the way, about writing down traits that you think are important and then adding them up and multiplying them by the root of pi or whatever to find all the qualities that you want in somebody else, in yourself, etc., etc. And Lucy Sheridan was saying to identify your pips and make note of exactly what it is that they have done to get to where they are that you can do. The problem, though, I mean, it's great, but the problem that I can hear you all screaming is, well, if your biggest thing is your kind of nose, and your pips is someone with a gorgeous fucking nose that you love, and your proof it's possible now is someone who was born with this perfect nose, and the way that for you to get that nose is either surgery or maybe it's not possible for you. And so, do you know what I mean? Like, it's a beautiful idea, but...
But then it's like, don't pick them as, that's not your pip then, that's your comparison trigger.
I think it's about identifying what it is that you're insecure about, or what it is that you're struggling with, and thinking like, is this my own insecurity, or is this my own issue that I want to work on, or is this what society told me wasn't good enough about myself? Because if it's something that you can't change, and it's something that society has told you that isn't good enough and doesn't really impact your life, you probably shouldn't be spending much more time thinking, can I googling nose jobs? And
I also think with that, though, the whole concept of her pip concept is that you don't pick someone that has the one thing that you want. It's about picking someone that maybe has got a similar nose to you, or a feature on their face that society says is unconventionally attractive, and picking them because they have the same features of you and work it and look great. I think that is what it is. It's not about picking someone that, if your trigger is your nose, don't pick someone that has had a nose job or a stunning little nose.
Don't pick your comparison trigger. Your pips and your comparison trigger are
opposite people.
Not the same.
Yeah, no. Your comparison trigger. We're literally giving all her tips away for free.
Yeah, we are, for free.
Definitely go and actually follow her. Also, she'll really fucking help you. This is really like, should we have reached out and said, come on the podcast? But like, the idea of a comparison trigger is someone, so you're walking down the street and you bump into someone that went to your school or something and was always like the popular one who stole your fucking boyfriend or something like that, that you've always compared yourself to. So there'll be a specific person that, if they're coming to mind right now, of someone that you're envious of, have felt jealousy towards, or tend to compare yourself on, whether they're localized or remote, the terms, whether they're in your life or you see them on the internet or TV, they're your trigger. They're your comparison trigger.
But it could also be like, if your comparison trigger is you're insecure about your bum, for example, anytime you meet or come into contact with someone, see someone on Instagram or bump into them in the street with what you think is a great bum,
yeah,
that is also your comparison trigger, because now you are triggered.
So interesting.
Out in the streets, and you need to make a getaway.
So have you ever had to avoid a situation because you know you're going to get like comparison triggered?
I haven't, just because, again, I think I am more of a remote comparer. I'm more kind of taking in what I see like through scrolling and stuff like that, versus people that I encounter in my real material life. But recently I had a conversation with my friend, and she was saying, well, it's the exact situation that I would have said there's going to have to be some sort of, I don't know, boundary in place or like get the fuck out or I don't know what could happen there. So my friend was explaining to me that recently she was with a friend who has a baby and, oh, I'm just trying to be careful.
Yeah.
She's with a friend who has a baby and the friend who has a baby was saying to her things like, you know, when are you going to have a kid? Because, you know, you've been waiting for ages now, blah, blah, blah. Bear in mind, my friend is 23.
This is fascinating because I've encountered very similar.
And the friend with a baby is younger than 23. Oh, maybe that's it. It's fine. Bit close to home. It's fine. No one's listening.
That's the thing. It's like, please, if you know me, just scrap. Like, throw your headphones in the bin.
Just get the fuck out of here. This is not for you. I don't know what made you think this was for you. It is not for you. Abandon the space. So the friend with the baby started saying things like, well, you know, if you're gonna have a baby in like 3 years, that makes you like nearly like 27. Like, say you're 24 like this year, then add 3 years, that's 27, that's nearly 30. So then you're 30 years old, you're probably gonna be infertile, you're probably not gonna be able to have a baby. It's like, okay, trigger warning, first of all, fucking fertility, my fertility is none of your business.
Why are you so scared of infertility? Are you in the Handmaid's Tale?
Truly. But those conversations make you feel like you're in the Handmaid's Tale.
It's like, shit, well, that's my purpose.
Yeah, I am nothing more than a biological clock that is ticking away until my untimely demise.
That is so irresponsible of the friend.
Also considering the friend is a mother.
But it's not even about... It's the fact that she is a mother is the thing that's making her say it because she's trying to validate her own decisions.
Exactly.
By projecting, why aren't you doing this? You should start doing it because I've done the clever thing.
Don't you find my life attainable? Don't you find my life admirable?
Desirable.
Yeah.
I definitely have had very similar conversations with people that are very much trying to validate their own decisions in life. Yes. By trying to force you to compare yourself to them by them comparing themselves to you.
Absolutely.
And it's like, I'm not interested. Thanks for the pitch, but I'm out.
That's also my problem with like social media versus in real life. I think on social media, it's much more heightened and amplified kind of realm of everyone overcompensating, including me and including you and including everyone. Because so much of social media is bizarre in that it's not tangible and it is curated, no matter what you think, you've curated this, you've chosen this post for a specific reason, and whether you think that's harmless or not, I think that's why social media is more of a comparison trigger to me than my real life ever could be, because you can't avoid people trying to show you that their life is perfect. And I'm just permanently between the spectrum of consistently unbothered and permanently rattled.
And it's going somewhere. Even when you think, oh yeah, I didn't feel an immediate feeling of being triggered. Or like we always say, like, you've got a hook on it. Like, I didn't feel a hook on that specific thought, but it's gone somewhere. And later in my day, I might kind of skip lunch because, or have a smaller lunch because I saw someone else, blah, 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 blah.
It's the horror movie thing. It's the thing of, just because you know it's fake doesn't mean you're not still scared and your heart's beating a bit faster and you're sweating and you're clammy and nervous.
Yeah.
Even though you know it's a whole movie production, you know it's fake and you know social media is curated, and yet here you are taking it in and embodying it as your own.
You can literally see it's an edited photo, but you can still then see your double chin reflected back in the black screen and think, oh, well, yeah, I look nothing like that.
Yeah.
I think the whole thing about, we know it's fake. Yeah, we do, but our brains are not wired like that to be able to identify, oh, it's fake, therefore I do not need to emulate it. It's fake and I need to be able to keep up with that level of fake production, clearly.
Okay, another message that we got, which I wanted to say because hard relate, was this. They said, comparing university offers, I couldn't help thinking that I should have done better, even though the university I was going to was brilliant and I loved it. I had a slightly different experience, but it made me think of what we were speaking about, I think, in the last episode, Steffi, about your experience with Exeter and Sussex and university in general.
And the nightmare of university, the pressure that's put on you.
It's interesting because it's kind of the first time, it's the first time that you and your peers at school
Are splitting off
and making, essentially, waves, making big moves. In the pathway of your life for the first time, apart from the, I would say, still very, very difficult and obvious, but more minute minute comparisons of they got an A star and I got a B, like, oh, blah, 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 blah. You know, those types of things. But university is like, fucking hell, our lives are going to be in different cities now. Oh.
It's huge lifestyle changes.
Or, oh, you're not going to university, and et cetera, et cetera. You and I had different experiences because I applied to university knowing that I really wanted to go to Sussex and knowing that I really wanted to be in Brighton. Spoiler alert, that's exactly what happened. But during my application and like post getting my results and stuff, weird flex, but I did an access course and I essentially got full marks across the whole, like every
stunning.
I basically just fucking killed it. Now, and even at the time, like even though, so obviously, I mean, I had the pick of the bunch, like but foolishly, but also not foolishly at all, the little argument in my head that I have with myself even now is like, you should have applied to like fucking Oxford or something just to get in and say no and go and do your bit at Sussex.
Yeah.
Like, just to have
the ego.
Just to pad your ego out a bit, just to massage your ego in the way that we would have, like, and if you don't do this, you should, a section on your notes, in your diary, on your laptop, whatever, of nice things, good feedback you've had in life.
Yeah.
You look nice today. This essay is great. Those types of things. It's nice to have a record of actual proof, evidence that you're not a shit person, basically.
A proof list. I do think this is one of the most powerful things you can do.
And so that would have been really nice proof, but it's also like, it's very unnecessary, and that only comes from a place of like psychological weakness of looking for, you know, validation from an institution as well,
which, you know, we're against if you listen to last week's app.
Exactly. And also, you know, with my actions, I very much was against it. Like, I had amazing grades, and I mean Sussex is a good uni, but I could have academically got into far more prestigious universities and didn't, as an active choice of like almost rebellion, I think, as well, because when I was 18, I was very much like, or during that time I'd like left home, I'd had to move out and really for the first time be my own person, make my own decisions, and it was very much like, I'm choosing Sussex because I want to live there, not being put in anywhere else out of someone else's decisions. I was very much actively
seeking that lifestyle.
I was living with intention.
Love it.
And yet, even though I was living with intention, still now I'm like, oh, it would have been nice to give a big fat fuck you to Cambridge, like, wouldn't it? But anyway,
well, I totally relate to that, because that's what I did when I reapplied my second year. So I did a gap year. I don't even know if I told the end of the story. So I did a gap year.
They've been hanging on for a week.
Best year of my life. Gap year. Oh. Went to Japan, eating sort of Japanese ice cream, eating sushi, best time of my life. Reapplied, but I still definitely had the petty kind of ego thing in my head that I reapplied to Exeter, knowing that I was going to Sussex this year, knowing that that is what I wanted. And I was like, right, okay, I know I can get into fucking great uni. So applied to like all these ones, and so that I could turn them down. And I turned them all down, like, bitch,
exactly, yeah.
bitch. And it was purely that ego fuel, but almost like so fun to turn things down.
It is fun. Yeah, it is nice, because it's also quite rare. Like, you're not often, also as a young woman, you're not often in a scenario where you can say no and reject people in safety
and take something that other people would encourage you not to take.
Yeah, but also it's like, the last time I said no to something was a man on the street and I thought he might beat me up or rape me.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Like, it's quite a beautiful thing to just press no on UCAS and think, okay, no one's going to come and kind of beat me up for that.
Other than sort of your grandparents saying, well, you absolutely should not have done that.
Yeah, exactly.
Because if you don't know what Sussex is, the uni that we went to, I mean, if you're thinking of going to uni in the UK, we highly recommend.
Mm.
It's a very new uni. It was built in like the 60s, I think.
Yeah.
And it's very like left-wing, liberal in Brighton, which is a very like liberal place, kind of by the sea. It's so stunning. And it kind of is very opposite to other kind of institutions that are built on like tradition, and its modules are very like kind of quite chaotic in a way, quite radical, but also it's functioning within the scheme of capitalist uni business, charging international students like £30,000 a year to go to uni, which is fucking disgusting, and this is why uni's dying.
But if you are looking to go to uni, would highly recommend doing whatever is good for you.
Always.
Little disclaimer. But isn't it funny how we spoke about this in the last episode, but how we use like markers of success to like compare ourselves to others, but it's like, that's all in your head. There's no social ranking. You're not going to sit with Jesus Christ at the end of your life and say, and you got 10 points for that university, well done. All your friends only got 7.5. It's not, you're not being tallied up for this.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
There is no ranking. The only sort of Jesus Christ that you're speaking to, Jesus Christ, is the person in your head that is telling you, well, that one's better, that one's worse, or kind of, I mean, I hate this if this is happening to you, but if you do have an external force being like, actually, that was the decision you should have made, actually, you should do that, then that person has their own issues going on. I.e., we got a lot of people saying that their parents were quite critical of them, and that makes them compare themselves to like their siblings, which is so toxic within a family dynamic anyway, because that's like, what, you're going to try and turn someone against their family?
So much trauma there. Like, it's kind of the most deeply horrific, I honestly think it's one of the most deeply horrific things we do as human beings. And I 100% think every individual should have like a long-term therapy course ran out before they even consider being parents, because you are going to bring a human being into the world and socialize them to be an absolute nightmare, because that was what was done to you, and now the trauma is in your DNA.
Did you ever feel any comparison growing up, or did you ever feel that you were being pitted against someone else? Sort of competitively.
I think you and I had a similar experience, Seffi, and I know actually that lots of you listening will have a similar experience too, because you told us. Because I'm psychic. No, because you told us on the stories.
Because we have it in writing.
In that when you, I don't know, are what, like the smartest in the room, the prettiest in the room, the cutest in the room, as a child and as a young girl.
By the way, when we say smartest in the room, we are referencing Hamilton, it where he goes, why do you assume you're the smartest in the room?
Assume you're the smartest in the room. Which is kind of a good life skill and a good tool, but also very dangerous. I think everyone feels that they've been compared to someone on some level.
So we've just had a bit of a convo kind of off the record whilst we were like in between takes, I guess. And we were just saying like, it feels quite embarrassing to talk about comparison. Like, it's quite a mortifying subject. And how it's like, usually when we're talking about like sex or dating or like boundaries or any of these things, it's kind of like
Harry Potter,
Shrek, all of the things we love to talk about. It's almost like it feels quite non-embarrassing. It's very easy to talk about like, oh my God, I like sucked his dick. That's so easy to talk about. It just flows off the tongue. But suddenly it's like, what? I've got to say who I compare myself to. I've got to go through my Instagram, scroll through, well, this post triggered me.
Yeah, it's very vulnerable. And intentionally, when I was doing the stories, I was like, I have to, what would be interesting to know is how many of you have actually said to the person you're comparing yourself to, especially because lots of you are comparing yourself to your friends or people close to you in your life. And I just thought, there's no way in hell that the majority of people are saying, having an upfront conversation with people and being like, I've been comparing myself to you recently, X, Y, and Z, here's the deets, A, B, and C. Because it's so difficult, because it requires you to be so vulnerable.
It's so difficult.
And we're conditioned to feel so much shame as well, especially as women, I think.
Yeah.
To just internalize any grief we would feel, especially around friends and family.
And almost the idea of like, you don't want to be the jealous friend. Like, you're supposed to root for other women's success. It's like, well, I'm also being told that I should hate women. Like, I don't know what to believe.
Yeah.
I literally don't know which way to look, because on some way, some days I'm supposed to be women supporting women. Like, oh, there's that quote that's like,
empowered women empower women.
Yeah, things like that. That's like, yeah, we know in an ideal world, empowered women empower women.
But we're also socialized to hate women.
At the same time, I've been looking at pictures of stick thin girls my entire life with perfectly symmetrical faces. And then we look at ourselves in the mirror and it doesn't align. And we feel fucking confused. We feel resentful. So what are we supposed to believe, patriarchy? Set some clear guidelines.
Well, yeah, what do we do? How do we get out of this mess? You know how we get out of this mess, Lucy Sheridan?
I think she gets us out. She's leading the movement. She's the Mockingjay. With the idea of telling your friends, though, I definitely think I've been in conversations before where someone has said that they're jealous. As in, I think it's easy. I think I have a top tip for how to do this. I think approaching a conversation and saying, I've been comparing myself to you for ages, like blah, blah, blah. That is so fucking difficult. Like, that is a lot of pressure to put on yourself to do that. Like, it's your stuff. Like, that's your business at that point. Like, that's mental stuff that's going on about you. It's probably actually nothing to do with the person other than they trigger things that are going on inside your own mind. But I think you could say stuff like, in the moment, if they say, I think there's a way that you can say, oh, I'm feeling really envious of that, and it not be the most intense thing in the world.
Well, it's funny, actually. Funny you should say that, because as we always go on and on, we're amazing communicators. But I don't know if you lot have noticed, we are two girls, two friends doing a podcast. There's two of us, and we spoke actually about this in a very meta way, as we do. Oh, you wouldn't believe the conversations we're having when we press stop recording.
Which is absolutely useless to them.
About how bizarre it is for us to be doing this. And so as a young girl and as two young women, you are obviously being compared. And then we too would fall into comparing ourselves. And I don't think we really, you and I, Steffi, compare ourselves now.
No.
But months and months ago, we both were like, oh, I'm feeling like it's the Steffi show and I should just not do this anymore because they all hate me and they love you and those types of things. And immediately, then when you've got it out and had the conversation, you're like, well, that's ridiculous, because even if they did hate me, then what? So what? Nothing happens. The earth continues to spin. My life is still fine.
Well, this is the thing that we've been very aware of from the very beginning. We're putting ourselves up on the internet to a load of fucking strangers who now have become our loves. We love you so much.
Our favourite people on earth.
And we put ourselves up on the internet and right next to each other, and you know that what happens when you see a picture of two girls is, that's the pretty one, that's the skinny one, that's the fat one, that's the funny one, that's the one, I like her hair, don't like her outfit. You know what's going on. That is exactly what happens.
Yeah, we're not dumb,
guys. We're not idiots. We've done it ourselves.
We're not stupid.
We've done it ourselves time and time again. And I think we very much knew that was going to happen, and we kind of thought, oh, we can handle this. Like, absolutely, fuck that. Like, we know we're hot. Sort of thing.
But also, no one actually has.
No one.
Compared us. Overtly. I'm sure you're all doing it in your group chats, but to our faces, it's very quiet, which is nice.
Yeah, I think we are comfortable with that in the same ways, but I definitely think a few months ago, so we had a conversation for a very long time, we were doing this and kind of speaking into like the void. And recently it's become like the opposite of a void. Like, we get too many messages.
Yeah, it's like a void.
Yeah, we can't read all the messages these days, which is amazing. It's what we wanted, but I don't think we were ready for the level of growth in the level of, like, I don't know.
I feel like I'm fucking Kylie Jenner. Eyes on me, people. I'm a public figure. Fucking fame. I'm a Kardashian. Can't move for fans. Step out of my house, paps galore.
But that's the thing. It sounds...
But you do feel eyes on you.
That sounds like it would be fab. You sound like, oh my God, but where are the paps? Send them in. Where's my sponsored stuff? Like, I feel like, do I have a chef yet? Where's my driver? My limo driver? But no, it's not that. And realistically, it's me and you on the phone going, I think we did have a very honest conversation when we're like, we were both saying like, I think they prefer you. And it's like, no, I think they prefer you. Like, you're the one. And it was... It's, but that's the thing that invalidates the whole thing. Of course, two women that are chatting together think, well, you're obviously saying everything better. And the other one's saying, well, you're obviously saying everything better. And it's like, actually,
yeah.
Fuck that. As if fucking PewDiePie and his fucking weird mate, whoever do a podcast, I'm sure he has a podcast, not that I'd listen to it, are having that conversation. There's no way. You're the hot one. Fuck off. That combo did not happen.
Yeah, it's true.
It's just two women. It's two women that cannot exist in their own right and both be amazing and both be pretty and both be...
Well, that's why I think the conversation, because I haven't felt that way.
Since that convo,
and I don't really know when that convo was, maybe even before that convo, because I think I said it to you first and was like, I had a weird day where I was feeling like, I should go, I'm the weak link. Not I should go,
and could
dramatic.
You imagine the response of just like, what?
I had a day where I thought, log off. But I had a day where I was like, fucking hell, like, it should be the Steffi show, like, I need to get out of this, like, they hate me.
To be honest, it's the most offensive thing I've ever heard.
And that, I don't think even, yeah, I mean, that was pre-coronavirus, that was another world.
It really was another world. And I think it's really important that it feels so immortifying, and it probably, I don't know, I feel like that would make people view us differently, in the sense that we get these messages that say, like, you guys are so empowered, you guys are this.
I think we are really empowered, though.
We are, but I think there is an assumption that empowered women can't be vulnerable and a little bit insecure at times.
Yeah, stunning.
And it's like, actually, you can be empowered and think you're the shit and also think you're the garbage of the world. Like, you can...
Yeah, literally that.
I think that is empowered. And of course, it would be insane for two women to stand up together, both speaking, both very visually present on the internet, and not feel like they were both being compared right next to each other because they're literally on a screen next to each other.
Mm.
It's insane. What an assumption to make. No, no.
Yeah, it's not happening here. It's not happening by us. And actually, it's not really happening by anyone decent, really.
No. And we've never, ever got a message that was like, that one's pretty or anything like that. Never in our lives. But I think we're so terrified of it.
Well, because also, I'm secure enough in myself that I would never message anyone else, two girls, and be like, blah, 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 blah. Even if I did prefer one. I'm just not a fucking loser.
Oh my God, imagine.
Like, I'm not psychologically inclined to make someone feel bad on the internet.
I think we've just got to quite a good point with this thought in that, oh my God, if they prefer someone and you prefer the other one. And I think we've realized that it's like everybody is allowed preferences and preferences shift. If you prefer Wing or you prefer me, that's encouraged and it's great.
It should be encouraged.
We live for that. I mean, we were having this conversation as well the other day. I think this was yesterday. We were talking about how we're not palatable anymore. We were saying that if we're doing our job right, the right people will hate us.
Yeah.
And it's a weird thing to go into the world knowing that you are going to make a certain group of people, or to be honest, quite mainstream groups of people, dislike you because we are not palatable anymore. Like, we're really going to stand there and say that we're stunners and not be ashamed.
Yeah, yeah, no, it's so true. A lot of people weren't ready for me to open my mouth. Oops.
I walked into a room the other day and you know when you walk in somewhere and you just think everybody here is trying to rape me?
Absolutely.
It was sort of a bar and I just thought, this group that I'm in, you're all fucking trying to rape me. Like, I'm not going to leave my drink with any of you. And then I said that to someone and they were like, God, I've never thought that. That's so cocky. And it's like...
Cocky?
No, I actually...
Cocky to think you're going to be raped?
Jesus.
Oh, God.
Yeah. It's like, Jesus Christ, you have low expectations for your life.
Oh, my God. Well, also, you have an obscure understanding of what it means to be raped. It's not a compliment.
Rape. I said, I really feel like every single person here is aggressively sort of pursuing me in a way, or pursuing some kind of thing, or I don't trust anyone here. Let's put it that way. I don't trust these fucking people with my drink. But then I said it again and it's like, no, like, I'm not, I just think I'm not palatable anymore. I just don't think either of us have the patience to be like, I walked in and like, I got this weird feeling from the group. It's like, no, you're all fucking trying to rape me.
Yeah.
Fuck off.
Yeah, so true. It's so true. Like, I definitely stayed quiet and small for a long time, and the luxury it afforded me was a bit of safety, but it also meant that I got nothing, I have nothing to show for that. I have nothing to show for trying to be quiet and nice and liked. And actually, going back on our last episode about being liked and knowing that, you know, you don't like that person, so what does it matter if they like you? And that's great. And that was definitely an epiphany for me. But actually, I think an even bigger epiphany for me, or like something that I've acknowledged and I think is really helpful, is it's fine that I want to be liked.
Yeah, it is absolutely fine.
Of course I would want to be liked. Like, I do not feel bad about wanting to be seen as a good, nice person. You can't make me feel bad for that.
Is that not the most powerful thing in the world, though, when you're being told, fuck what other people think, fuck this. It's like, no, fuck what the wrong people think.
I think I'm just honestly loving myself these days.
I'm going to sob. It's stunning.
But in a different way. Like, recently I had a thing. You know what it is? It's because I've been living with intention. Also, the more I love myself, the more everyone else hates me. Like, yeah. Can't stand me. Like, shut up, get away.
But I think that's the best thing. If that's the trade I have to make, I mean, consider it traded. Consider the deal done.
But it's so true. And recently I was thinking, like, I love that I am, like, reduced to tears by small things. Like, I loved that I am moved by other people and stories and stuff so easily. Like, I'm not mad about that. Like, I don't have to be... I don't know. I'm so vibing with myself
that.
Right now.
Oh my God, I'm loving it.
I'm obsessed. Oh, yeah.
It's just the best. I really feel like this, I don't know. This is such a vulnerable app, turns out.
Yeah, who knew?
Who knew? This is what we say. We never know where they're going to go in any episode. And who knew we would start talking about... I did think we would talk about how we had to break through the barriers of, like, comparing ourselves to each other.
Because almost we were a bit dumb because we... I mean, I don't know about you, but when we made the account, when we were fucking logging into Instagram for the first time, I never thought we're going to be comparing.
No,
I just
never.
Didn't think we're going to be comparing ourselves or people will be comparing us. And then it's only when it becomes very real and the audience starts to fill fill out and the seats and the rooms start getting full, you think, oh God, they've all got opinions. Chances are they've got opinions on both of us.
Yeah.
And they're not going to be the same.
Yeah. I think that's really nice though, because it's like, you're both like whoever, you listening right now. Now, Harry, I speak directly to you.
Directly to you. You have 1 hour, 1 hour.
1 hour, 1 hour. We've made the same joke in two podcasts running now.
And we make it probably in every phone call we have.
Harry, I now speak directly to you. But it's literally like, you're actually allowed to like just one of us, like both of us, hate both of us.
Things that I say will resonate with you more. Things that I say will piss you off more, and you won't want to hear my voice. You'll want to hear Seffi speak for 45 minutes. That's so far. You're a human being and so are we.
That's the stunning bit, that you're allowed to... You're allowed, I give you now full permission, Harry, I speak directly to you. I give you full permission to hate my guts.
Yeah, we signed a permission slip. You can hate us, it's fine.
My guardian has signed the permission slip that you are allowed to hate us both.
I know, but it's true. And I think that comes back to the same thing of external validation. Listen, if you're looking to be fed by external validation, you will go hungry for the rest of your life. It only can come from you.
So, comparison tip.
Well, apparently for me, it's start fucking journaling. Vomit.
It is, though.
Yeah, it is, though.
So Erin started a journal.
Well, the thing is, I've done it for a long time, and I look back on when my life was most organised, and it was always when, if you're familiar with the bullet journal system, that's a variation of that is what I do. Don't YouTube that, because you will absolutely be in the rabbit hole. If you like aesthetic organisation stuff, wave goodbye to your social life, wave goodbye to your responsibilities, because you're going to be watching fucking Amanda Rachel Lee for 4 hours.
Nice. I've got no idea, or no interest in this kind of organisation. It's not how my brain works.
Honestly, I honestly think you'd get sucked in.
I can't be organised like that. It's so neat.
But it's just such a vibe. Anyway, so I've really got back into writing everything out, writing everything down, and I've gone a bit Miley Cyrus with it, in the sense that I'm writing down, like I said to you earlier, Seffi, I've written down explicit boundaries that I want to make, even on this podcast.
I love this.
Things you will not be hearing from me, details you will not be receiving from my mouth, that you will have to infer through deductive reasoning, not by me.
And it turns out I have no boundaries. Turns out I have no boundaries and it's all up for grabs.
But it's like, if I want to live as pleasantly as possible, I need to be very intentional. Like, I'm going to actually be quite explicit with myself.
I think that's so amazing. Yeah. I've also started journaling, in that I've definitely always been the person that keeps a diary, keeps like kind of in a very messy way, like just constant like documentation of life.
A scrappy do kind of way.
Yeah, honestly, scrappy do, like kind of, it's mad writing times if something's happened. Like almost like if I kiss someone, I'm like, let me write that, like the whole experience down. Like I just need to document it.
It's kind of Tom Riddle's diary.
It is.
Can you show me? No, can you tell me?
No,
but I can show you.
Yeah, there we go. And it's, the book pages are flapping, yeah, the light's about. Coming out.
Spoilers.
Spoilers for Chamber of Secrets.
Chamber of Secrets.
Do you know what I always think with that film? His collar. You know, there are like some, when he's in the chamber,
it's quite Harry Hill.
Wasn't what I was thinking, but yeah, there's like very specific stains on his collar.
Oh.
Whilst he's in the chamber. I don't know what it is about it. It like makes me feel a bit ill. I think it was that I watched it once when I was ill.
Ooh.
But he's got really specific staining on his collar whilst he's in the chamber. If anyone knows what I'm talking about, that's really niche.
You know what that reminds me of? Robert Pattinson saying that they very specifically and intentionally crumpled his collar of his shirt with a wire through his collar for Twilight, and it was like the most pretentious and obnoxious thing he'd ever seen, that they kind of put a wire, fed a wire through his collar and rumpled it, so it was perfectly rumpled.
That is awful. Oh my God, what the hell. Great role for the costume department in Twilight.
Yeah, exactly.
But yeah, with journaling, I've started doing it in a bit more of a structured way, in that I will write like gratitude, and then I've got a section that's like gratitude and then like intentions for the day, using our intention thing, like not even a to-do list, just like intentions.
Also, the intent for the day can literally be enjoy your bath tonight.
Literally that. It's always just like walk your fucking dog. Like just like literally love the life that you've got.
Live, laugh, love.
Live, laugh, love.
Honestly, when did we turn into a live, laugh, love podcast?
I know.
We are so wholesome.
But I do think writing is probably one of my biggest tools for like...
Listen, I'm going to say it. If you haven't yet seen Seffi's poem... It is on her personal Instagram.
Promo.
You need to go and see it. I know lots of you have seen it and love it, But if you haven't yet seen it, I know you're going to love it. And you just honestly prepare to be stunned. So stunning.
Thanks, Wing.
It's thanks. Okay.
Well, that wasn't actually where I was going, but I saw your mouth open and thought, I know what's coming here.
I know what's happening. It's true. Honestly, it's just exactly what, if you're listening and kind of somewhat enjoying this podcast, you will love that poem because it's everything that we ever try and say, but just so perfectly, beautifully articulated, so stunning.
Well, thank you. I'll take my bow now, my invisible bow.
Yeah, that's going in the journal. Proof is possible. Proof you're not a piece of shit or whatever it was.
Well, that's what I was going to say. I think that writing, not but fucking poems, but writing just like scraps in your fucking notes of like, I have a very long list of, I mean, it's literally a list of external validation. And we've mentioned this before on the podcast that we both have them. So there's like a proof list that's like things that you have done in your life that you're really proud of. And it's proof that you are like capable of blah, 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 blah. And then also like a list of almost like compliments that people have paid you. You don't need it on the day to day, but when you're like about to be like falling down the fucking hole of I'm a fucking useless human being that we literally all fall down, I do think it's amazing to have a list of things, of people, literally their voices, a list of them all telling you the opposite.
You know what it is? It's the review section on Apple Podcasts. I'm not asking you, but I'm just, I'm not going to ask you for a review this time, but that's part of where I go now. And it's, and it works. It really brings a tear to my eye in the best way. So if you have not yet curated amazing evidence of why you are fucking incredible, that's something for you to do today.
It really is. Just start it. Just literally write down proof list colon and start going.
I also think because it's very, it feels very self-indulgent, and it's like, why should you not be living your life in the most self-indulgent way? Like, you should be, especially, I mean, at any age, but I think especially for us young people, young women here, my gals, you're not often afforded the luxury of being so self-indulgent with yourself and being so self-serving.
You're told to hate yourself.
You're told to hate yourself, and you're told to put yourself absolutely at the bottom of your list. That's why journaling seems a bit ridiculous, because it's like, what, I'm gonna give some time to myself, am I? Ugh, like, that's so cringe.
It's like, but who's earning money from that?
Yeah.
How's that productive? You losing weight from that?
Yeah, I'm supposed to hate myself. But it's like, no, sit down in your nice peace and quiet. However, just enjoy your own time with yourself. Oh, I'm cringing, but so true.
I'm cringing, but I'm also, I think we're gonna cringe at how, almost how vulnerable that we've been in this ep, in that it feels quite like,
yeah, you've got to edit this. I don't know how you're gonna get through
I
this
know.
It's all gonna be cut. I'm gonna listen to it and it's like
it's 10 minutes long,
30 minutes long. We never got emotional.
Literally.
Like true Capricorn, she was like cut.
I'm thinking this more and more recently, that vulnerability has been needed in this podcast, and to hear a little bit more about, like, when we're getting so many messages a day being like, you guys are so empowered, you guys are great, blah blah blah, I think that makes you a weird person. I think it makes you weird in your head.
Yep.
When you're being told that by information from people, you're great, I love you, blah blah blah, but there's nothing that's tangibly changed that much in your own life, in the fabric of your own life.
Mm-hmm.
Still wearing the same clothes, your hair's still the fucking same split end mess, you're just walking through, you're eating your fucking Cheerios, like, you're living your life. I actually haven't had Cheerios in about 3 years, and that makes me want them badly. Like, I need them right now. But I think it makes you, it makes something a bit weird in your head when you're being told by essentially something that is as like vapid as like water, like, do you know what I mean? It's just like washing over you constantly. It's like literally thin air going over you saying, you're amazing, you're amazing, you're amazing. But in your own body, you're like, what? Like, where do I look?
I'm a piece of shit.
Yeah. And you're looking at your little proof list, and it's just like,
and then we press record and it's like, we don't really compare ourselves.
The joke of it.
Even though we do, but it's hard to explain. Like, I'm not lying when I say I don't really compare myself to people in real life, but I do find social media to be a big mess. And going back on what you're saying, Seffi, we've spoken a lot about the way that this really feels like a performance.
Yeah.
And we're so aware of what you guys may or may not think of us. It's difficult. It's like, well, I'm walking around with my Cheerios, but I'm also apparently really empowered, and figuring out, like, am I lying? Am I a hypocrite? Am I perfect? What is this?
Am I the most empowered person in the world? But then I also cried last night, but an empowered person would never cry. It's like, actually, fuck it. Yes, they would.
Oh, they absolutely would.
And I think that's the thing that it feels strange to be coming to you as an empowered voice that gives you empowerment that we fucking love, like, every single time. That's like, you, like, we get messages that are like, you changed my life. And it feels so dramatic. But it's like, God, now we're crying. Like, that is the most stunning.
I was going to say I'm crying.
Like, that is the most stunning thing we could ever hear. But then in your own life, it's like, well, has my life changed? Have I changed my own life? Like, do I feel like a success?
I also think it's like, we're only as empowered as you lot. Like, we've only changed your life in the way that you are changing your life. You now, all of the different emotions that you feel listening to a podcast that empowers you is all of your own creation. Like, you are you're the one allowing yourself the space to critically think and like engage in new conversations and give yourself the space to grow because you want better for yourself. And I think that really is nothing to do with us. It does all come back down to you.
That is shivers. That is shiverable. Like, that's so stunning. You're the one filtering all this info and implementing it in your own life.
You found us. I didn't fucking message you and say, hey, I've got a podcast, you want to listen to it. You found it. You put yourself in this space. You're the one doing this. You're the one putting yourself out there.
Oh, well, that is the best thing ever.
This is why I love them. I can't cope. One message that I wanted to wrap with, because I thought it was so interesting, and I mean, thank you all as always. I know I'm extra emotional in this episode, but genuinely, genuinely thank you. Like, I fully scroll through all of your messages just thinking how much I fucking love you. So this person said, I used to make a habit of befriending people that I saw myself as inferior to, and then most of our friendship was me tearing myself down by comparing myself to them, which I think is interesting. And also, I think people do it both ways. They either befriend people that they see as inferior or befriend people that they think are superior to them, and both can be destructive, etc., etc. And
I loved this one because I think this, you can see this mirrored within your own behaviors, your friends' behaviors, and people specifically in relationships. I think when you see someone get with someone that is very inferior to themselves or very superior to themselves, I think this is mirrored everywhere. So I loved it. Yeah, I completely think it's a fucking dangerous game when your relationships, you perceive there to be like a distinct hierarchy either way.
I definitely think people perceive relationships to be like an opportunity to add value to your image rather than an actual opportunity to enjoy someone's company and like fuel your own life with love and kind of good times with somebody,
or kind of balance, some sense of balance within relationships, like a give and take, and I guess equality.
Well, there's that whole narrative about you should look around like your friend group and feel like they are, I don't know the direct quote and I'm really butchering it, but you should look around your friend group and think that they are all, basically you shouldn't look around the people that you're surrounding yourself with and think that you are the most successful person there, that whole thing.
But that's also a very like capitalist kind of, do you know Gary Vee? Like, it's a bit of a Gary Vee thought.
Yes, it's very reductionist, as most quotes are, to be honest. I mean, scroll through the Instagram, it's all reductionist stuff.
Surrounding yourself with people that are inferior to you so that you then feel confident and great is really specific. Well, it's really interesting. I definitely notice this, not that I do it with my friends, but I notice a difference within myself of how my behavior changes when I'm with a group of people that I perceive to be less than or more than, in that I think I step into, me and my sister have also discussed this, that we both do this. We very much step into like uber confident, uber like performer, the loud one, like when we're in a room with people that we're not really desperate to impress. But when it's like a room of people that are incredibly amazing and like talented, it's almost like a shutdown, like keep your mouth shut, this space isn't for you. And I think that's worrying. It's something to note within yourself when you notice your behavior changing surrounded by how you perceive people to be on your hierarchies. What about you?
I'm just letting that sink in. It's stunning. It makes me think about all of the social climbers that we have known in our time.
Yeah. Oh, can we talk about social climbing? It's my fucking favourite topic. It's fascinating. It's such a trait that I don't understand.
No, same.
Like, I literally cannot network for the life of me because I don't understand small talk. Like, I actually can't comprehend it.
Yeah, but it's also about, like, you don't function from a place of insecurity,
not in that realm.
Like the social climbers that I know, I mean, I'm thinking of one, I'm not gonna say, yeah, I know you're thinking of the same one.
We're thinking of one social climber we know.
One specific climber.
Mountain climber.
It just would never, I genuinely think, and I'm not shaming, I mean this is absolutely not about the person who sent in that message at all. This is honestly, this is me bitching about someone that Sophie and I know in real life. But I honestly think social climbing can only be coming from a place of insecurity. And it's, I actually think it's the most counterproductive move you can make in life, because you're securing yourself nothing but superficial, vapid, airy shit, rather than actually finding real relationships.
Before you know it, you've climbed to the top of the mountain, you're looking around and everything's fake. It was a plastic mountain. Brilliant, worth climbing.
But you've got loads of likes on Instagram.
It's such a silly, foolish game.
You're getting loads of compliments from acquaintances. It's funny, I said to Seffi literally yesterday, like, people who don't have real relationships and go into, you know, they're proactively living their life without real relationships, they really don't know what they're missing.
I think it really plays into how we perceive ourselves and how we are desperate to control other people's perceptions of ourselves. So social climbing always gets me, because it's about getting something, like basically using other people as stepping stones to, so you've got a good basis of friends, but you see, oh, well, I could get that base of friends that they will allow me to do this, and they will allow me to access this specific arena, then the next, and you're just endlessly discarding people.
It's like you're living your life like you're on fucking Love Island.
Yeah.
Aren't you knackered?
Your head could be turned.
At any given moment, you must be exhaustedoed.
Genuinely. It's a fascinating, fascinating trait. And I would love to speak to anyone that like consciously does this.
Oh my God. If you consider yourself a social climber, oh, please.
Well, does anyone consider themselves? Because it's almost like a bit of a dirty word, like, oh, they're a social climber. But I mean, like, you actively network. Like, you see the worth of climbing the ranks. You're kind of Jay Gatsby.
Well, it's almost like good for you in a way. Like, you've got the bollock to do that, and I guess it affords you kind of some social capital, and like, it's a great move for your career maybe. Like, there are lots of ways that it can benefit you. But ultimately, if in my mind the only thing that's real in life is love, I don't think it gets you much love.
So thank you so much, everyone, for listening. This ep has been raw and bloody, a quote from Us by Jordan Peele. It has been raw and real and everything, and fucking hell, vulnerable.
I hope it's been pleasant. I hope you've realized some things about yourself too. That's kind of a message that we get frequently, is like, through the convo you learn things about yourself, and I think honestly same. So that's nice, we can all do that together.
Go and follow Lucy Sharendon.
Just like realizing things.
Turns out it was the year.
Every year since.
Go and follow Lucy Sharendon before you do anything else, because she really opened my eyes to the world of comparison coaching.
She truly is a coach. You walk away from her Instagram feeling well and truly coached.
She has a little dog. She walks her dog every day. She's kind of... And what I like about Lucy Sharendon is kind of the phrases she uses. She's like a northern woman, but she'll say like, oh, I got myself in a topsy-turvy. And it's like, what is... What's going on?
Really coachy.
There's one video that we recommend that...
I sent that to you, didn't I?
Yeah, you sent this to me. And it's about diamonding. She says, prepare to diamond. Prepare to diamond. And we won't tell you what that means yet, but watch the one called...
You'll have to go and do your research for yourself.
Prepare to diamond. So see you next week, guys.
See you next week. Thanks once again for being here.
Thanks. Bye.
Bye.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free, or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.